Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Mouse Chatters Steve, Lauren, Chris, and Bob. Welcome, everyone.
Hey. Welcome, Lisa.
Oh, thank you.
Hello.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about AP rumors and policies. Some new changes and some rumors. So, Chris, I'm going to have you take the lead on this one.
Okay, so there's a couple of new things that have come out recently. One is fact and one is just a rumor. So I'll start with the one that's a fact. If you have a premium annual pass for Disney World, which means you can get into all the parks any day of the year and you can get into the water parks and Disney Quest, it used to be you could get a 20% off discount on Disney merchandise, which is really a great deal. And you know, the other annual passes are only 10% off, which is, you know, still a good deal.
Well,
anyway,
this also applied to the 20% was also good for the Premier Pass for people that had Disney World and Disneyland.
Yes, yes. So. Now they've changed it to just 10%. So you can only get 10% off instead of 20% off.
Starting
it's
when?
It's kind of a bummer. January 1st. And it's a bummer, especially for me, because I actually got that DVC deal where they sold you the annual pass, the premium annual pass for $399. And I was like, woo, what a great deal. And I never even got to use my 20% off. So I'm really sad.
I got to use it.
I know.
So it's for everybody who already has one and already paid for it. Now they're going to cut the benefits.
Right, because all of the benefits that are associated with your annual passes, other than, you know, park admission, are considered, you know, they can change at any minute.
Yeah, I'm sure that's in there.
Right. So it is. And so it's not, you know, it's not like they're doing anything wrong per se. It just kind of hurts. And it does hurt when they sold the annual pass to DVC people as, you know, hey, upgrade from the premium or from the regular annual pass to a premium annual pass, $399. It is a great deal. But, you know,
yeah.
Now they're changing it. So that's, I don't know.
Well, I figured it was going forward for anybody who bought it, because I was almost ready to go buy the DVC one for $399 because I wanted that 20%
right
when that came out. But it's pretty shady that everybody who just bought it, now they're cutting the benefits after you already have it. It's kind of like a bait and switch.
It's not like you're grandfathered in, which I think would have been fair if they said, you know, from January 1st on, all new APs. Or, you know, when you're AP.
Anybody who purchases.
And they can set it up so that it does only affect certain ones.
That's
right.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, really, this doesn't affect most people and it doesn't affect most of our listeners, obviously. But for those of us who kind of were excited to get that deal and get that extra 10% off, it's a pretty good deal. And as a DVC owner, you already get 10% off merchandise anyway. You can't combine those discounts. But, you know, having that 20% was an... I'm sorry?
Do you? Do we get 20% off?
If you have your DVC card, you can show your 10% or your card and get 10% off, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I thought that was only good at Disneyland.
Nope.
Oh, seriously?
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm totally kidding you. No, it's true. It's a new perk. I think it came out like a couple months ago or whatever.
Okay.
If it was only a couple months ago, then I can handle that.
But yeah, I've spoken to a few people that are premium annual pass holders, and I know there's even more rare. There are a few out there who are premier pass holders who have said one of their main reasons for buying the pass was because at the time they purchased it, they were told you get the 20% discount on merchandise.
And some people spend hundreds and hundreds on merchandise.
Well, and it is an incentive. I mean, there's no reason I personally wouldn't have upgraded from a regular annual pass to the Premier because, you know, my kids are still fairly young. The idea of taking all three of them to a water park when they have different interests and abilities at this point, you know, I'm just not going to do it. So the water park option is not a big seller for me.
And so what do you get? You get the parking, the water parks, and Disney Quest, and then you used to get the 10% extra discount.
Right. And regular annual pass holders still get parking. They get, you know, the same room discounts a premier pass holder would get. And they get, you know, I mean, it's all the same now. There's no difference in the benefits, basically, between a premium and an annual other than, you know, you get the water parks and Disney Quest, which of course no one goes to.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And it makes me concerned as an annual pass holder that if they are going to cut back on the premium annual pass holder and premier annual pass holder discounts, will they do the same down the road with annual passes, either, you know, cutting it from 10% to say 5% or to nothing at all? Again, it's not that they're doing anything wrong.
Yeah, they can do anything.
The contract that you signed gives them that authority to do that. So,
well, several years ago, they didn't have these sort of merchandise discounts across board. They were just at certain locations. And then I guess it was a couple of years ago, they extended it, you know, basically it's park wide as far as merchandise goes, except for a couple of locations. But, you know, I mean, I sure would like to keep that discount. The 20% I thought was pretty awesome. Maybe that's why, I don't know, maybe they have had so many people get that premium annual pass, so many DVC owners.
Well, I mean, how, the 20%'s only been out, what, like a couple months?
No, the 20% has been out as long as the regular annual pass discount has been out. Okay. Yeah, it's not new.
All right, I just heard about it with the DVC deal.
Right. That's new.
Yeah. I suspect this is one of the many types of changes we're going to see as Disney tries to recover money from paying for Fantasyland, new Fantasyland, and paying for new Test Track.
Yeah.
You know, and those changes you're going to see are going to be in the form of cutbacks like this one and the form of price increases.
Yep.
So
two of Bob's favorite things.
Yes. Well, they just warms my heart. And I love when you see both at one time.
Well, and that's what they did at Disneyland with Cars Land. They all of them got rid of discounts.
Increase for annual passes. I don't know the percentage, but wasn't it more than 30% that a regular annual pass went up at Disneyland?
Oh, it was huge. Very, very high. So and you're talking about Disneyland that only has two parks. So you can imagine that we will likely see an increase similar in nature, I suspect, when they do announce price increases.
Well, I looked and the premier for both Land and World, that passes $849. So you can use your Disney World AP to upgrade that, but they don't bridge it if you got any discounts in that. So that's a big jump.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Right. And most people aren't going for that because how many people out there really go to both parks enough in one year to make it worthwhile? But there are plenty of people that get the premium pass that do go to the water parks or do go to Disney Quest or do go to Wide World of Sports and love that 20% perk. And some of those people now are saying, I'm going to downgrade. It's not worth it to me anymore. They took it away. I don't feel like paying for it. And you know what? That is probably one of the smartest things you can do. If you want to affect change, you do so through your actions.
Well, to me, I mean, like I said, I would never have upgraded to the premium anyway. For Disney World, I just don't care about the parks. I am, because I'm going out in April, I'm going to go ahead and do a Land and World pass because I think that'll work out for me. And because of the discounts they have out there, they have much better discounts than Disneyland. So they have discounts on food and they have room discounts. So,
yeah, I think the disappointing thing is just the DVC point, because there was a big, it was in the magazine and it was everywhere. It was a big push on, hey, we're finally doing something for DVC members. And and it was, you know, they had a new.
Now it's like, screw you.
And it was, you know, $3.99 and here's all you get. And I was like, wow, 20%. And because I usually don't buy an annual pass because we don't go, when we go, we'll go for a week, but we just don't go to the parks that many days out of the week. But the 20% made it enticing. And I kept thinking, 20% might be worth it. And then a couple months later, it's already, since that DVC thing came out, it's already gone.
Yeah, and you know, I've been on some of the DVC boards, and that's where the real complaints are. Because people are kind of like, hey, you know, I upgraded just for this, and you know, now they're taking it away. Now, having said that, the discount on a regular annual pass, the difference between a regular annual pass and a premium for a DVC owner, do you want to know how much that is? It's $15. So if you're a DVC owner, you're only out $15 by upgrading from those two passes. So maybe you don't have that much room to complain.
Yeah, that's true.
And at the end of the day, unfortunately, again, Disney's not doing anything wrong contractually.
No.
You agree to their terms, and they can make these types of changes. All they have to give you as a premium annual pass holder is admission to the four major parks, the two water parks, Disney Quest, and I think Wide World of Sports is included in that as well. And
Yeah.
so long as they do that, hey, they don't have to give you any discount. So.
And you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still going to pay it. They haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm like, what? Forget it. I'm going to Universal. So, you know, I
What's
mean,
the
it's
other
still
half of
not
the?
that bad of a deal.
Yeah. What's the other
Well,
half of
what's
the
the,
rumor?
yeah.
Okay, the rumor is that Disney is going to go ahead and only allow annual pass holders 20 fast passes per quarter. So if you're a local person and you go to the parks every weekend, you're only going to be allowed 20 fast passes, you know, during a 3 month period. So that's just a
Now, is
bad
that
job.
for fast passes or fast pass plus?
That's for
Because,
Fast Pass Plus. And my
okay.
understanding is that you can't, that's all you're getting. That was my
Right.
understanding. So for
Yes.
example, if you're an annual pass holder and you're staying on property, but you're not buying you're not, you know, you didn't buy tickets, you're still obligated, you know, you're still held to the 20 fast pass rule per quarter. So
Right.
I don't
And
like that.
that rumor comes from touring plans.
Right.
So
It's pretty
it
reliable.
is, yeah, pretty reliable as far as the information that they normally come out with. No, I don't like that either, because while they say that the average annual pass holder only goes 13 days per year, so maybe that makes all of us abnormal.
Yeah, we're abnormal because we've been more than
Wait,
that.
I live in Jersey and I go more than that.
Yeah, but you're not
Exactly.
average. But well,
Yes.
I certainly go more than 13 days per year, and when I finally am able to get back to Orlando, I'm going to be there a heck of a lot more than 13 days per year with an annual pass. So yeah, the idea of 20 per quarter isn't much at all. That's roughly, and I know they're breaking it down as well. Average guest visit is 5 days, four attractions on FastPass Plus per day. So there you go. You get.
Bob, what's the difference between FastPass and FastPass Plus giving out 20? How does that differ, or do you know, or do we know
Well,
yet?
I don't think we know yet because they really haven't been.
They were supposed to test it again, weren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're still
Yeah.
testing it. They haven't been revealing too many details on FastPass Plus. What I've seen from people who are getting the opportunity to test it. It looks like they get to choose like four attractions per day at each park, and it's broken into from what I've seen again into groups.
Categories,
So yeah, like categories. So let's say if your first day is Magic Kingdom, you get to choose two in Group A and two in Group B, and attractions in Group A might be Under the Sea with Ariel, Enchanted Tales,
Haunted
Space
Mansion.
Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, and Group B might be fireworks viewing for Wishes, special parade viewing, Stitch's Great Escape, that sort of thing. And so you choose two and two, and there's your four, and it gives you set times. You know, this is your window for Enchanted Tales between 11 and 12, and this is your window for Space Mountain between 2 and 3.
Okay.
Now, I have to say, I had in the first test round of this, which was in September, I had, I think, three or four different clients that were able to test this, and not one of them liked it.
Well, so they basically book their rides in advance, and then they get to show up at that attraction between 10 and 11 and ride those.
Or whatever, yeah, or, whatever time they get, 1 and 2, 10 and 11, 8 and 9, yeah, whatever it is, and ride that attraction. Yeah, so you're basically scheduling your attractions in advance.
So we think as an annual pass holder, if the rumor is true that if you're staying on property and if, you know, FastPass Plus is tied to staying on property for on-property guests, you can only do this, what, 5 times a quarter if you're getting 4 a time? Or,
well, if you're only getting 20 a quarter, and so roughly 4 a day. So, and I think the maximum right now, at least in testing, is 4 per day.
It's, all right, so it's per day. So, yeah, so you could basically go on property once a quarter for a 5-day vacation.
For 5 days, let's say, yeah. But again, if you are a local who maybe you don't stay on property, you're just popping in and out, well, chances are you're going to use those 20 and a quarter and then what?
But that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if it's that is not affected and that's just anybody walking up and getting a fast pass. Just like anybody else, or if it's just specific to this FastPass Plus reservation in advance type system.
And I don't think we know yet because they're still testing.
Yeah.
But I mean, my understanding, and I may be wrong, was that when FastPass Plus comes around, FastPass goes away.
And it's interesting.
Really?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting to me. And so you can't combine them. So it's not like an annual pass holder can say, "Well, I've got 20 FastPass Pluses per quarter, and then I'll just go back to FastPass." No, it's your 20, and then you're done. And it's interesting if you look at some of the signage in New Fantasyland, like in front of is it Barnstormer maybe or Dumbo's? One of the two. Yeah. The sign says FastPass Plus. It doesn't say FastPass.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So, yeah, so they're clearly moving in this direction. But, yeah, there's still too many unknowns about it. But, yeah, that kind of...
Yeah, it'll be interesting because if you can't get a FastPass, and the only people who can get FastPasses are the ones that are are on this new whatever it is, you know, have to stay at a Disney resort or have to pay or have to do whatever, then it's going to be... I don't know.
Right. And here's the other thing. Let's say I'm an annual pass holder, but I'm from, I don't know, I'm from California, so I come for 2.5 weeks at a time, or I come for 10 nights.
Yeah, then you're out. You run out.
Yeah, then I'm out 5 days into my vacation.
Yeah.
Great. So now you're going to have me standing in line. Why did I buy my fast pass? So I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's... I guess there's a lot of fighting now on Disney message boards because people are saying annual pass holders are crying and complaining and whining about this, and you know, why should they be given anything special? But
well, and I don't understand that attitude anyway. And I realize that Walt Disney World, like for annual pass holders at Walt Disney World, are not the bread and butter of that park. But they kind of should be in a way. I mean, people, if you care enough to go to Disney frequently and you have an annual pass, and I mean, come on.
No,
show people some respect.
Absolutely.
No, I know you do. I'm just saying, you know, it's, I don't know. It just kind of drives me crazy that, you know.
Well, yeah, they're your most loyal guest. They're not the person who's going to come once every 5 or 10 years. They're the ones who are going over and over again. So you would think you'd give them a little extra versus restricting them more.
But don't you think that in a way that – I'm sorry, just let me finish this. Don't you think that in a way – I'm sorry. Don't you think that in a way that the real money is from people who go once in a lifetime?
Oh, yeah.
And they do things like they get the photo pass, and they do Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and they just throw money around for 7 nights.
No, I don't agree.
I don't agree because
they make an awful awful lot of money off of me.
I'm just saying that a lot of pass holders come in and it's not a big deal for them. They go in, they spend the day. They might not even eat there. They might come in for a few hours and, you know, ride a few rides, maybe get a Coke or something and go home. It's those people that are filling the resorts that I think that Disney is really trying to reach.
Now, you know what?
I'm filling the resorts too.
Right. The average guest, let's say the average guest because the average guest is not the one that comes for that once in a lifetime and goes all out. The average guest is spending, what, maybe $2,500 in a year on a vacation. I can easily beat that.
That is going all out.
Okay. So they're going all out. Well, then as an annual pass holder, I'm going all out double that annually.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, think about how much money you have spent before you purchased DVCA. Think about how much money that you spent last year.
I'm not even staying on property.
And I'm not even saying just your hotel and tickets and everything else. The money you spend in the parks as well, on your dining, like on everything. Think about how much money you have spent. There's no way that you're not spending more money than somebody who's coming there once a year.
Well, I will say that the only thing I truly spend the money on other than the room is food, because I don't let the kids buy like a lot of toys and stuff because, you know, they don't need it. We did Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique this year just so we could say we did it because my daughter kept asking to go. But I mean, you know, we'll never do it again.
As adorable as she was, you're not doing it again.
No, I'm not. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know.
I think we're not the normal annual pass. I think like if I was a local to Orlando, I would go, I'd ride a few rides, I'd get something, a snack, and I would leave.
But you know what? That even that adds up because even when I was local, I mean, and I'm not that far now, and I can tell you that you're always grabbing something in the park, whether it's a snack or you're having lunch there or something. And hey, we're close enough. Let's do, like for instance, an anniversary dinner. So let's go to Yachtsman or let's go to Citrico's or,
that's true.
You know, let's do something different for a meal. Let's go to California Grill or, we've got friends coming into town.
Yep, let's go.
They're going to Disney. True. Let's meet them. And so we're going to spend money. And then, there's holiday merchandise out. Let's buy that. Or, this is, you know, a limited edition item. Let's get that. And we need one of these. We need one of that. And that adds up. One of our big frequent listeners, and he comments a lot on our Facebook page, Jason Cram, he even told me he's a local to Disneyland. And of course, Disneyland, I think APs are treated slightly better because
it's
they are the bread and butter at that. Yeah, they're the bread and butter at that park. But I mean, even talking with him about this a little bit, he was saying that he estimated between his DVC dues and what he spends for his family on property in a year, he's probably, you know, close to $10,000.
Yeah, that's true.
That's huge. Yeah.
Because, I agree. Because I was there in Orlando. When I lived in Orlando, everyone, you always have friends coming over and they all, you know, they come to town and they always want to go to Disney.
Yes. So you're always there spending money and you're always going to see something that you want to buy. And yes, a tourist comes for a week and they spend $2,500 or $3,000 or whatever it is, but they're there for that week. We're there as annual pass holders for food and wine, and we're there for Christmas, and we're there for summer months. And
But Bob, you have to, you know, you're saying all this and, you know, rationally, I agree with you. Except if this was the case, then why isn't Disney catering to pass holders?
I think if you looked at Bob's, what he spends in a year versus what someone spends on a one-week vacation, or all of us are as annual pass holders or frequent goers spend more than someone spends because we just go so much. And when we dine, we like to try the specialty restaurants.
We're such a small number of people. I mean, I think you lose perspective because if, you know, we do a podcast, we work as, you know, we sell Disney travel, we do all this stuff.
Breathe, sleep, Disney.
You know, like we do. I mean, it's really, you know, the fact is I will have more conversations about Disney than just about anything else during the day, you know, until my husband gets home. And then, you know, maybe we'll talk about the kids and then Disney. But I mean, the truth is we talk about Disney all the time. We're doing Disney stuff all the time, but we're freaks. And, you know, we're kind of unusual.
Hey, wait.
I'm
going to say
you too. Don't even try it. Seriously. So, I mean, you know, I think we're very unusual. I think the norm isn't is someone coughing up a hairball?
I'm sorry, that's not funny. Are you okay?
Everybody's dying. Okay, So I'll start over though. No, I mean, I think the truth is, you know, I can't remember what we're talking about because I have short-term memory loss now.
You don't think that we are, as annual pass holders,
no,
their bread and butter?
No, I totally don't. I totally don't. I don't, because if we were, Disney would cater to us more. They would give us discounts on food instead of Tables in Wonderland, which really isn't that great of a discount.
But well, not especially now that it's raising their price $25, which is a big, big increase in the price.
Yeah, that's huge.
But I think that they know their pass holders are a captive audience.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
They are a captive. Your people that have
annual passes. But they're a captive audience in Disneyland.
But I think that the people that have the annual passes are a captive audience. I think that no matter what they do, Disney knows that those people are going to keep coming back for more.
Yeah, and unlike, I will say this.
Unlike your people who can't afford it or don't know that they can afford it, I think that your people that once a year are not they're not going to do it to them. They're going to do it to the people that they know will come back no matter what.
Unlike Disneyland, where so many people feel like it's in California, I can't go out there, it's too expensive to fly out there with my family and spend time, so I'm not going to do that. So they rely on annual pass holders. Yeah, I guess I see your point that maybe we aren't as important to them at Walt Disney World as they are in Disneyland. But even so,
yeah, I think
like
you have a lot more.
I do think that Disney should acknowledge those annual pass holders and give them discounts and things. But, you know, maybe these two points are connected. This whole thing with the limiting the amount of Fast Pass Plus as annual pass holders can get, and the reduction in the discount for premium pass holders from 20% to 10%. Like Lauren said, we are a captive audience. We're going to go. Once we've got that pass, well, we're going to use it because, gosh, I spent all this money on it. I like Disney. I need to justify paying for the pass. So let me go and spend more money.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of this flies in the face of what goes on at Disneyland. I really do. I think that, you know, why doesn't it hold true in Walt Disney World if it does at Disneyland that they cater to pass holders
there?
They're a higher percentage.
But they're such different animals. They're completely different animals.
But my whole point is, I think that the deal is that Disney recognizes that they make their money off of, not off of pass holders at Disney World. So they don't have to do things for
Yeah,
us.
And they're trying to go
Maybe
in that direction at Disneyland
down.
Too. I mean, that's why they raised
Is
the,
it true?
Yeah, they raised they raised the prices and they are trying to make it a, you know, a 3 or 4 day experience. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to make it a vacation destination. And
they're trying to add more special events. Like this is the first year that I think they ever did the candlelight procession out there for 20 nights.
Yeah.
Just not something that they did.
Does anyone know, you can only buy up to a 5 day ticket at Disneyland, right?
Correct. Yes.
So then after that, you have to start over again.
Yeah, buying a 1 or 2 day ticket. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
All right. I'm going to grab it here. We're going to wrap up the show. I'd like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you enjoy our shows, please visit us at mousechat.net. You can download them there. You can also go to iTunes and get them there. You can send your comments and your questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.